You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Tobia here for this week's edition of Stick Together, the only national program focusing on union news, worker stories and social justice issues. This program is produced in Naarm, Melbourne, for 3CR, and broadcast across the Community Radio Network with the support of the Community Broadcast Foundation. On the stolen lands of the Kulin Nation, we stand in staunch solidarity with the struggles of First Nations people and respect their continuing connection to country. On today's program, we will hear first from Victorian Trades Hall Council Secretary Luke Hilikari giving a speech outside the State Library of Victoria on the 24th of August as part of the nationwide protests that were held on that day. Then, we will be hearing a report back from an attendee of the August 14th Trades Hall Palestine meeting that was organised in conjunction with Free Palestine Melbourne, as well as an excerpt of an interview from Solidarity Breakfast with unionist and community lawyer Michal Kadam from Inner Melbourne Community Legal on the 16th of August, talking about the upcoming strike that is being organised in solidarity with Palestine on the 10th of September. But first, some union news. This week, the National Tertiary Education Union and the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance have come together to warn of serious risks to freedom of expression stemming from a code of conduct adopted by the Bendigo Writers Festival. The festival issued a code of conduct to participants in La Trobe University-sponsored events, directing them to, quote, avoid language or topics that could be considered inflammatory, divisive or disrespectful, end quote. It also maintained adherence to La Trobe's anti-racism plan, which adopts the University's Australia definition of anti-Semitism, a hotly contested definition that conflates criticism of the State of Israel and the political ideology of Zionism with racism and anti-Semitism. More than 50 writers, academics and hosts, including NTU, MEAA and MUA members, withdrew from the festival over the code. The initial flashpoint of the situation centred around renowned author Randa Abdel-Fattah's inclusion in the Bendigo Writers Festival and the lobbying against her by a pro-Israel lobby group. When asked about the situation, Abdel-Fattah said that, quote, the code belongs in an Orwell novel. It's a gag order and exposes an astonishing contempt for and infantilization of writers and artists and the right to free speech, to thought-provoking commentary, to robust debate, to speak out against genocide and oppression. Alarmingly, it reflects the willingness of institutions to placate organizations and lobbyists hell-bent on silencing voices who threaten the status quo, end quote. NTU National President Dr. Alison Barnes, speaking on the matter, had this to say, quote, it's especially galling that La Trobe University management has used its role as a sponsor of the festival to stifle academic freedom and freedom of expression, the very principles universities are built on. This is exactly why the NTU strongly argued against Universities Australia's definition of anti-Semitism. It risks conflating uncomfortable criticism of government policies with discrimination. MEAA Acting Chief Executive Adam Portelli, when commenting on the fallout from the event, which saw the cancellation of its opening gala, as well as over 60% of the participants withdrawing their participation in either protest or solidarity, said, quote, MEAA supports creative and media workers' rights to freedom of expression, even when uncomfortable or inconvenient. In fact, it is in the very nature of artistic expression to be disruptive. These workers deserve the freedom to express opinions without fear of being silenced or censored. Across the way, on the other side of this continent, the United Firefighters Union of Western Australia are undertaking a dispute with the state government over work conditions, safety standards and pay. Quoting from Sarah Misson's legendary disputes report Substack, the Fireys took action which, quoting, included limitations to off-duty contact, a 24-hour cap on overtime, and chalking messages on vehicles. Firefighters also rallied outside of Parliament on the 12th of August. Fireys are fighting for an increase in their base rate, as well as a comprehensive health and wellness program, enhanced consultation with DFES, that's the Department of Fire and Emergency Services, a revised rank structure, strategies to address emerging risk, and wage, allowance and conditions parity with the rest of the WA public sector. Sarah also shared some of her thoughts on the economic reform roundtable. Quote, there are no jobs on a dead planet, and there is no productivity either. If climate change isn't addressed and not treated as an urgent priority, none of the rest of this matters. If a Labor government has to justify investment in education and health through a framework of productivity, while large companies and billionaires are able to use creative accounting to reduce the amount of tax they pay to as low as $0, the government is asking all the wrong questions. Housing must be treated as a human right and basic necessity, and not something one section of the population uses to build wealth. There is an urgent need for new homes, but we cannot run roughshod over environmental assessments or the quality and sustainability of new homes. This will just cause more problems later down the track. The fight for a four-day working week with no loss of pay is already underway. Several trials are enshrined in EBAs. Organisers and workers are miles ahead of the government on making this a reality. We will win this, job site by job site. Once the concept is mainstreamed, then the government will sweep in and make an announcement about what they are, in scare quotes, giving working people. We can hope that common sense will prevail and reforms to help working class people will materialise from this three-day talk fest, but past experiences tell us we cannot rely on politicians and their curated invitees to, again in scare quotes, fix things for us. Vested interests have a funny way of trumping common sense in these forums. What we can rely on is each other. We don't need three-day talk fest to remind us that our power is in organising together. As Sarah takes a hard-earned break from her weekly reports, on behalf of the Stick Together team, we extend our thanks for all the work that she does and hope she has a restful break. Our final news item for today comes from the desk of the Safety Net Journal. The South Australian Employment Tribunal, SAET, has upheld the Australian Rail, Tram and Bus Industry Unions, RTBU, allegations that Pacific National Services Pty Ltd, PNS, breached important safety rules on numerous occasions when train drivers were prevented from finishing their shifts on time. PNS asserted that according to the relevant enterprise agreement, the lengths of the shifts were not capped and shift limits applied only to predictive roster shift times and not actual worked shift hours. They also claimed that any delays to the end of driver shifts were caused by genuine emergencies. The RTBU contended that the limits applied to the actual time worked and were imposed to help manage the safety hazard of driver fatigue. The SAET agreed with the RTBU's position, finding that the agreement showed the shift limits capped the actual time worked by train drivers. The agreement limited the driver's shifts to 9, 12 or 15 hours depending on the makeup of the crew or 16 hours when an emergency prevented them from completing their rostered shift in time. The SAET heard that between February and July 2023, 22 long-distance train drivers were prevented from finishing their shifts on time by foreseeable delays caused by slow refueling processes, temporary train speed restrictions, and equipment failures. The SAET concluded that PNS had committed 7 serious contraventions, including one that affected 2 workers where the shift limit was breached by 3 hours and 20 minutes, in circumstances that were not attributable to an emergency. The union's South Australian Secretary, Darren Phillips, said that the SAET judgment was a significant step for safety and common sense across the rail industry, noting the relevant enterprise agreement was a national agreement. Quoting, maximum shifts limit exists to prevent fatigue and to protect both workers and the community. The tribunal's ruling confirms employers can't bend the rules or put profits before safety. actual hours worked matter, and rostered work times matter. Now, for the main section of the program today, we will be time traveling between various times of this month, beginning first on a beautifully sunny Sunday, the 24th of August, as record crowds filled the streets of Naarm, Melbourne, in solidarity with Palestine. We hear from Victorian Trades Hall Council Secretary Luke Hilikari address the crowds of tens of thousands of people before rolling the clock back a week and hearing a report from an attendee of the August 14th Victorian Trades Hall and Free Palestine Melbourne Forum held at Trades Hall before ending up back at the studios of 3CR to hear an interview with unionist and community lawyer Mikhail Kedem, who's helping to organise a strike on the 10th of September. Let's begin the trip.
Wow, look at all you comrades. I think we must have, 20, 30,000 people in the streets? I think so, comrades. Well done. Can we start by acknowledging the traditional elders of the land, the Wurundjeri people, pay our respects to our elders, past, present, emerging. This land was stolen, never ceded, always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Special shout out to Lydia and Gary. Terrific to see you and, you know, great comrades. I want to make the position of the trade union movement really clear. We stand with the people of Palestine. We condemn Israel. We condemn its genocide of 77 years. We support a free Palestine, the right to return, the dismantling of settlements, the end of the arms trade. We support sanctions. Comrades, we would say in our movement, touch one, touch all. Touch one. Touch one! Touch all. Touch one! Touch all. Now, we should talk about protests for a little bit. Just about protests. Because every single one of you, someone would have said, why are you showing up to these marches? You know, aren't they just getting in the way? Aren't you being disruptive? Aren't you stopping businesses in the city of Melbourne? What impact could you be having all the way in Australia? And I say to those people, the very point of protest is to be disruptive. When there is a genocide, people of conscience need to be disruptive. That's how you get the attention of your leaders. That's how you get the attention of the media. That's how you turn more people out to this cause. And if you don't think your protests are having an impact, well, Benjamin Netanyahu got on the TV, Australian TV, to condemn all of us. He called you racist. Are you racist? No. He called you anti-Semites. Are you anti-Semitic? No. He said that he wanted to make sure that it was very clear that he thought you were all on the wrong side of history. Are you on the wrong side of history?
No.
Absolutely not. And most of all, he wanted to stop you from protesting. That was the call. He wanted to stop the protest. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because this is what I know. When a bad boss comes up to me and says, I want you to stop protesting, what do you got to do? More protesting, right? More protesting. Because that's what has a huge impact. It's having a big impact. And so, for us, we need to make some clear with the Australian government about what we want to have happen next. We need to stop the trading of parts for the F-35. We need to stop armoured steel. We need sanctions. We need Israeli officials to be arrested and face consequences. Now, like many of you have been called anti-Semitic for coming up to these rallies. But let me be clear about this. It is not anti-Semitic to be critical of Israel. It never has been. It never has been. It is not un-Australian to be critical of your government. If anything, that makes you a better Australian. And the trade union movement has been critical quite a bit. And what we want to do is when people have a go and say, well, you know, maybe you're anti-Semitic because where have you been for every other fight around the world? And the trade union movement has a very proud history from everything from the Vietnam March to South African apartheid to East Timor to Western Sahara to West Papua to Ukraine and many other places. The Australian trade union movement stands for peace. So, comrades, for us, Palestine is union business. Now, we have a lot of media here today, which is great. And I think we want everyone to, you know, to get the message about what we're out here today. So we've got to be loud. So who here wants to see a stop to the end of genocide? Who wants to see the aid get in? Who wants to see the walls get torn down? Who wants to see the settlements close? Who wants to keep showing up? Who wants a free, free Palestine? Free, free Palestine! Free, free Palestine! Free, free Palestine! Comrades, we're with you all the way. This is such an important moment for this country. Congratulations for being here. Solidarity forever.
Last night I went to a forum at Trades Hall on union organising for Palestine. A Labour Friends of Palestine member spoke on the panel and attacked Palestine Action Group, who organised the Harbour Bridge March, as, quoting, having a minority outlook and not orienting to the masses, end quote, because they don't let Labour MPs speak at rallies. How dare a member of the party that is currently arming Israel attack the group who organised 300,000 people to march across the bridge as minoritarian? What the bridge march proved is that orienting to the masses has nothing to do with appealing to Labour or letting right-wing politicians speak at your event. They got 300,000 people to march on the bridge, not by pandering to Labour, but by throwing down a gauntlet and directly challenging the Min's government. That inspired people. It drew them in to help win the fight. The Vic Trades Hall Council Acting Secretary, who's an important player in Labour, and the State Assistant AMWU Secretary also spoke. There was almost no mention by them of the actual situation in Gaza. Instead, both of them spoke to justify their inaction. They gave patronising rationales, i.e. we can't call demonstrations or walkouts because the members aren't ready. The members have to decide to take action, not the leadership, etc. They blamed rank-and-file workers for their own inaction and berated, patronised and at one point yelled at workers who proposed actions, e.g. an evening rally on September 10th, from the floor or raised criticisms. Two workers who are organising their workplace to walk out for Palestine asked if VTHC would support their action, pointing out that you're saying that the problem is members needing to act, but we are acting. Will you support us by putting out a statement in solidarity? The answer from the acting VTHC secretary was, quote, you're not going to like my answer, but the answer is no, end quote. The workers managed to get an informal motion passed by the meeting, not the officials, to support their walkout. These officials are happy to organise campaigns to get the vote out for Labour, but they refuse to initiate even an evening demonstration for Palestine. Equal marriage and change the rules showed the enormous scale of mobilisation that the Victorian Trades Hall Council can get when it does call out rallies. They could do this for Palestine.
We were reporting that the meeting at Victoria Trades Hall on Thursday weren't that as receptive to the notion that members of unions should be walking out of work on the 10th of September, which is what you're aiming for, isn't it?
It is what we're aiming for. We hope so. They didn't really confirm anything. They suggested a few things, but that's definitely not confirmed. And yeah, they spent most of the meeting saying why they couldn't. But we'll see what happens, and we'd love their support.
That's what I was thinking about the Victoria Trades Hall calling that meeting. I was thinking you might have come late to the party, but everybody's welcome, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So where did the idea come for stopping work 1 p.m. 10th of September?
Yeah, well, this is actually our second strike that my workmates and I from Inner Melbourne Community Legal are organising for Palestine. Our first was about 300 people from the CLC, Community Legal Centre and SACS, Social and Community Services sector, in February last year, and it was great. We released a statement which got about 600 signatures demanding, amongst other things, that our employers across the not-for-profit sector end their silence, show public support for Palestine, demand an end to Israel's bombing and blockade of Gaza, and the Australian government to cut all military and diplomatic ties with Israel. And ASU for Palestine were instrumental in this rank-and-file walkout. We've just got a pretty left-wing workplace, and we've built a culture where talking about the union is normal and included in team meetings. And we established a Friends of Palestine group off the back of a group of delegates fighting for our new multi-enterprise agreement we recently got off after 4 years, and I attracted other activists to our workplace who are also organising the strike and regularly attend rallies and community actions. And I guess the day after the 300,000-person march across the Sydney Harbour Bridge for Palestine, our Friends of Palestine group held a meeting and passed a motion to go on strike again and encourage other workers to do the same. And initially we thought to do something on the 8th of October, but they decided to try for something sooner because of the uptick in action and consciousness around Palestine lately. And we also luckily have a very supportive management who didn't penalise us last time and are supportive again now.
And so you're really saying that workers, I mean, well, as the meeting said, you know, members need to stand up and show their support for Palestine and their feelings against genocide.
Yeah, 100%. We hope we get more workers out this time than last time, and that it's possible to stand up and walk off the job if possible, or at least attend to some of it in solidarity. We want to send that message that we're sick of the government and weapons companies making money off killing a classroom of children a day, a child an hour for the last 2 years. And we want Australia to stop making and trading weapons, to sanction Israel, to stop the genocide, stop starving Gaza, cut all military and trade and diplomatic ties with Israel, and occupation of Palestine, and uphold our right to protest without fear of repercussions silencing. Yeah, we hope to send a message that, you know, this, it doesn't have to be like this. Another world's possible. We can't just remain silent while these are massacres and stars and ethnically cleansed Palestinians to profit and power, and that none of this should be accepted as normal. So we need a fight when our Defence Minister Richard Miles, when asked whether we sell weapons to Israel, says we're an F-35 country and backs Penny Wong's claim that we sell non-lethal weapon parts, including armour vehicles and F-35 aircraft doors, which of course are lethal, like all weapons parts are. We can stop F-35 fighter jets from Australia. More than 700 critical parts are made in Victoria alone. Australian companies are the sole global supplier for F-35 parts. Australian companies have made $5 billion for their F-35 contribution so far. We signed a $917 million contract last year with Elbit Systems. And yeah, of course it would be best if companies globally stopped selling weapons to Israel.
You know, this business of standing up and actually walking out at 1 p.m. on the 10th of September, what's so powerful about this is that people individually, and then of course as the individual makes this decision, there's this collective, but individually a person taking the moral stance and then feeling powerful enough individually to actually do something about it. And it's effective, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most effective ways you can take a stand. Yeah, using our power collectively as workers to say business as usual can't continue and it has to stop. And I think it's one of the most powerful ways we take action when we work together. Yeah, as individuals, but working together, workers working collectively to take action and say enough's enough. You know, people are sick of it, especially now. It's important now because, you know, it's killing nearly 100 people a day. I just killed all 5 Al Jazeera journalists left in Gaza this week, because it's when they're going to lose less credibility killing them now than killing them before, you know, the horrors that are about to unfold.
And the other thing is, of course, they can do this anywhere. The industrial military complex can decide to do this anywhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If they're threatening them there, there's we're threatened here too. It's important now because of the 300,000 person march and Sydney Harbour Bridge. Public sentiment's changing. People are starting to see that this isn't okay. And yeah, definitely, we're threatened here as well. And also, the government's recent sort of plans to recognise Palestine as a state is kind of an insult. You know, like Amal Nasser has said recently, you can't recognise a state while you allow Australian-made components to help arm the regime destroying it. You can't fight for the dead while helping make the weapons that kill them. They don't really want to give Gaza any real autonomy or control over their border, trade, water, choice of leadership, ability to defend themselves. It's not really...
Well, as they said at the... in the crowd on one of the things that we were playing this morning, liars, liars, they're liars.
Yeah, and the reality that they're covering up is that globally there's been a massive union pushback. You know, port workers in Greece, port workers in Genova have been shutting down weapons trades in their ports and in their cities in Morocco. So there is actually a narrative that is missing from everyone's analysis, even though like two-state solution stuff's getting pumped out now. But really what the 300-person march signified to me was that, yeah, people aren't having it anymore. They're refusing to be lied to. And that's important that you guys are giving space to an action that actually everyone can partake in and everyone can organise in their
own workplaces
and contribute to it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we urge everyone to come along, like to talk to your workmates, encourage anyone who can to strike, or if you can't strike, organise leave or take the day, like the rest of the day off, take a long lunch break, see what you can do to get out there. You know, we encourage people to hold a union meeting or a Friends of Palestine meeting and pass a motion to strike. And yeah, like Trades Hall and the other unions, they should support the action. They've refused so far. There's nothing kind of solid about...
Well, they said it. They said it. If it comes from the groundswell of the members, you know, it can't come from the bosses or of the union. You know, it has to be the members.
Yeah, but they said it, but they also said that they can't tell us what the next action is after we said this is what we're doing on the 10th of September. They said they can't. They said they'll, you know, check, make a call. They still haven't kind of confirmed. And they've given us all the excuses in the world on why they haven't done anything so far. 2 years into a genocide.
Yeah,
and, you know, they said, okay, yeah, they're going to come on the 24th.
Late to the party.
We've been going, exactly. Everyone's welcome whenever they come, but like, we've been going to rallies every week for almost 2 years, right? And sort of going to a rally on the 24th as a litmus test. What are they? What's the test? What are they?
Blue or red? Blue or red? Thanks for talking to us this morning, Michael.
Whoa, and we're back. What a ride! Had to hold my hat on for that one. That's it for Stick Together this week. If you want to catch up with our program, the podcast is available at 3cr.org.au or at your favourite podcast site. You can contact the producers of the show at sticktogether3cr@hotmail.com or by ringing 03 9419 8377 and leaving us a message. My name's Tobia, and remember, wherever you are, whatever you do, there is a union for you. And until next time, stick together.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.